Tienen esas.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن. صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين الميامين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المعجز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in insan and human beings two dimensions. One is the physical, animalistic dimension, which interacts with the physical and concrete things that Allah has created in this world. The other dimension and angle with which a human being finds himself is the angelic, spiritual dimension, which interacts or deals directly with malaika. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse which I recited before you, informs us that the dimension which is most taken into consideration on the day of Qiyamah is the spiritual dimension, the condition of one's heart. We all have our interaction with our families, people in our society, with our neighbors, and our fellow human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed us through the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to conduct ourselves in that particular fashion, and what the result would be in fulfilling those injunctions and teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, more important than merely the physical or external approach that we take in our dealings with fellow human beings or our families is ensuring that we do not lose focus on our own hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that beware and be aware of the fact that there is a piece of flesh in each and every one of you. If it is sound and pure and safe from corruption and disobedience, it would result in the entire body of the human being being pure and sound from corruption. And if it is corrupted and it is polluted and contaminated, it would result in the actions emanating from the body also to be one of pollution and corruption, contaminating society and the individual himself. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the responsibility of ensuring that we do not lose focus of ourselves. Today, it is very easy for us to pay attention to everything happening around us, and we lose focus of what our own conditions are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Describing the condition of the kuffar, that they are conscious and aware of all the events of the world, but with regards to what their akhirah holds for them, they are oblivious. They do not know what is lying ahead for them, nor are they making a preparation in that particular regard. If we look in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Sahaba, many of them were given the glad tidings of Jannah and salvation in the akhirah on the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some in one gathering, some over a period of time continuously, they were promised that they would enter into Jannah. Yet that did not make them oblivious of their own condition. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, once he suspected an individual of consuming alcohol, and he followed him. The man went into his house, he started hearing the sound of singing, and as if the person was now partaking in his alcohol. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu scaled the wall and he says, now I got you. So he turns to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, I have faltered, yes. You have caught me with this glass in my hand. But you have committed two offenses. You entered my property without my permission and you wish to expose the fault of a Muslim without giving me an opportunity. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then reflects, and it is the description of Sayyidina Umar as given by the Sahaba, كَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. He would pause abruptly when it came to the injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now he reflects, he introspects and checks in his heart that am I really in trying to rectify this vice, am I not perhaps violating the right that Allah has over my heart? Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, one of the mightiest and the greatest of the Sahaba, to such an extent that he is praised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam, as we would have heard from the ulama kiram, would sometimes come in the form of a human being, Sayyidina Dihya al-Kalbi or some of the other Sahaba. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari passes by, and when he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged in a discussion privately, he did not make salam and he passed by. So Jibreel alayhi salam says, Hada Abu Dharr yamurru bina. This is Abu Dharr passing by us. وَلَوْ سَلَّمَ عَلَيْنَا لَرَدَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ. And if he had to make salam, I, Jibreel, would have replied and responded to his salam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَتَعْرِفُ أَبَا ذَرَّ? Oh Jibreel, do you also know Abu Dharr? So Jibreel alayhi salam said, لَهُوَ أَشْهَرُ فِي السَّمَاءِ مِنْهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He is more famous in the heavens than he is on the face of the earth. The same Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, being given this honor that the malaika are aware and they know his name and they know him personally. Once, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody sees him walking in the marketplace and he has his rida, which is his upper mantle, his sheet, and his izar, the lower garment. And his slave is dressed identical. The only peculiar thing was that his clothes were not matching. The outfit was not matching. The upper garment was matching the lower garment of his slave and vice versa. So somebody said, perhaps if you just swapped the piece of material, you could have had a good outfit and he would have looked good as well. So he said, it's impossible. Explaining this strange practice of his, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, one day in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said to the slave of mine, Yabna Sawda, I abused him verbally. And I said something disrespectful with regards to his mother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Abu Dharr, innaka mru'un fika jahiliyah. O Abu Dharr, the fragrance or the stench of ignorance still emanates from these words. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises him and says, this is your brother that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made subservient to you because of the various responsibilities attached to human life in this world. He perhaps has an outward inferior position, but he is your brother. جَعْلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ. You are responsible for them. So when you eat, ensure that you feed them from that which you eat. And when you wear your clothing, ensure that you make them wear from that which you are wearing. He says, from that day I ensured that every garment of mine was divided in half. Half was for him and half was for me. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he knows what has been promised for him in the Akhirah, that the malaika are waiting for him. And in fact, this Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, his story is so amazing that when he was about to pass away, he moved out of Medina Munawwara because he was very strict on particular things, and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu asked him to reside in this particular area called Rabada. So it was just him, his wife, and his daughter. He was experiencing sakarat, and the last part of his life he was not well. It was the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah. So this was out of Medina Munawwara en route to Mecca, was this place called Rabada. So his wife told him that whoever had left for Hajj is already gone. What's going to happen if something happens to you, if you have to pass away? How are we going to manage? So he said, don't worry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one day in a gathering that يَعِيشُ أَحَدُكُمْ وَحِيدًا وَيَمُوتُ وَحِيدًا وَيُصَلِّي عَلَيْهِ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. There's somebody in this gathering who will live a life of solitude, of loneliness. He will die alone also, but a group of the believers will perform his salah. So he said, from that entire congregation that was present at that time, I'm the only one surviving. And I'm the only one living alone. The others passed away in Medina or in the path of Allah. So she said, yes, but there's nobody here. Whoever went for Hajj, they've already gone, and nobody's going to leave Medina to come to Rabada now. He said, ما كذبت وما كذبت. I am not lying, nor was a lie spoken to me by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In any case, she goes out and she sees, is there anybody who can assist, and he is experiencing sakarat. And eventually she sees the dust on the outskirts of Rabada, heading in her direction. And eventually when this group reaches her, she sees it's none other than Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the great jurist and faqih of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He was sent a letter by the Khalifa Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, who was undertaking the journey of Hajj. Sayyidina Uthman required his advice in a particular ruling of Sharia or Fiqh. So he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when you receive my letter, if you are sitting, stand. If you are standing, start walking. Even if you don't make Hajj, you ensure that you come. So through the excuse of that particular ruling, which was required by Sayyidina Uthman, Allah made the arrangements for Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. And he passed away. They performed his Salat al-Janazah. His bequest was that only a person who didn't hold office in the government should perform his Salah. And that was not a government, that was a Khilafah. And when they performed his Janazah, the wife and daughter had prepared some food. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, how did you prepare this dish so quickly? They said, our father Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said to us that these people who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said will eventually come to perform my Salatul Janazah, they will be in the path of Allah. Let not my death deprive you of serving those people in the path of Allah. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud began to weep. He said, may Allah have mercy on you, Abu Dharr. You were generous while you were alive, and after you passed away, also you were serving people in the path of Allah. So these Sahaba focused on their hearts. Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Sayyidina Ali, his son-in-law, Ya Ali, ama tarda an yakuna manziluka muqabila manzili fil jannah? Oh Ali, does it not please you that your house will be opposite my house in Jannah, being married to the blessed daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, Raditu ya Rasulullah, O Nabi of Allah, of course I am pleased. And he began to weep. Given this glad tidings, if we look in the books of hadith, in Hayatul Sahaba, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf rahimahullah has put some of the quotations of Sayyidina Ali, how he used to address himself. This was after Rasulullah, knowing that his house is in front of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the tabi'een describe him, and they say, when we used to look at Sayyidina Ali in the masjid at night, يَتَمَلْمَلُ تَمَلْمُلَ السَّلِيمُ وَيَبْكِي بُكَاءَ الْحَزِينَ. He would roll and he would be uneasy as if he was bitten by a snake or a scorpion. And he would cry the weeping of a widow, a woman that just lost her husband. ويقول آه آه من قلة الزاد وبعد السفر ووحشة الطريق. Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه used to say, I have got nothing for this long journey which lies ahead. How long is the journey for me to reach that abode which Rasulullah has promised sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How dangerous is the attacks of shaitan on this journey, because I'm not dead yet. So the Sahaba focused on their hearts. This is something which we need to do, respected brothers. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he emphasizes in his Ihya Ulumuddin the importance of focusing on one's heart. When the heart is sound and it is turned constantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, presenting the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wishing well for our fellow human beings, ensuring that we display the best character of Rasulullah, then that is the heart which draws other hearts towards Islam. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, one particular expedition, one battle, he is sitting and he ensured that a good meal was prepared for his army. And when it was time for him to eat, he took a small bag out of his pocket, and it was one or two bags fastened in one another, and he opened the third one and there were a few pieces of dry bread. He mixed it with water. So one of the soldiers said, Amirul Mu'mineen, you are giving us this good food to partake from and you eating dry bread. So he said, Amma hadha al-khubz fa ana a'rifuhu. He says, this bread, I know where it comes from. A'rifu man badarahu. I know who planted the seed. Wa man hasadahu. I know who cultivated it, who was in charge of the irrigation and ensuring that water reached this plant. Wa man ومن طحنه, who ground it and made it into wheat or made it into flour, ومن خبزه, and who made the bread, who baked the bread, and what, who cut the firewood to make the fire for the tanur. So Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah said, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were so conscious of their own hearts and their own condition, that if you had to ask them something that which they owned, كانوا يعرفون طعامهم عن سابع يد. He said, they will be able to tell you 7 people before where this thing came from. If it came to me now, it was halal, 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 halal. This is how they, how concerned they were. In ta'aleem, normally we sit in a halqa of ta'aleem, or we hear in Fadali Amal, the story of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. How concerned he was about himself when, after not having food for 2 or 3 days, his slave presents some food, and he says, he took one morsel, and the slave says, normally you ask me how I prepared it, where did I get the food from? Today you didn't ask me. He said, well, I was extremely hungry. So therefore, he said, well, where did you get it from? He said, I passed by a group of people. كانوا يعرفونني أيام الجاهلية كهنت لهم. He said, I passed by this group of people, and in the days of Jahiliyyah, I practiced fortune telling. I was a soothsayer and telling them their future, and they saw me and recognized me, although they were Muslim and I'm also Muslim, but they recognized me because they knew me from that association of the past. So there was nothing haram between them at all. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Al-qawm ma'arafuka illa an tariq al-kahana. He said, these people, the only link they have with you is through fortune telling, which for me is doubtful. I can't accept that this must go into my stomach. So he's so concerned about him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the greatest after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And eventually, obviously being so hungry, he was unable to have that morsel removed, and somebody told him, drink some water until your belly is full and then try to bring it up. And he brought the morsel up, and he was cautioned by his family members, you can lose your life in doing this. In this old age, you're trying to force yourself to vomit and bring up one morsel after 3 days of hunger. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me that that flesh, kullu lahmin nabata min haramin fannaru awla bih, that flesh which grows through haram, then the fire of Jahannam is more worthy of that flesh than anything else. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, respected brothers, to focus on our hearts, how we can constantly ensure that we think good of the next person. Make an excuse for our Muslim brother, that how in every way we try to bring our hearts together. Make an excuse for the next person and be strict on ourselves with regards to our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Husnul dhan is thinking well and wishing well, and su'ul dhan, finding fault and thinking of the evils of our fellow family members and community members and relatives and friends, this is something which is completely haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and purify our hearts, because the only heart which will be successful on the day of Qiyamah, as I recited in the first verse, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day of Qiyamah will be that day in which no person's wealth or offspring and progeny can grant him or give him any benefit, except that person who is presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart. So it is a constant effort which is required till the time we leave this world. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, I will conclude, I know time is up. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, at the time of his death, he was in Sakarat, in and out of the state of unconsciousness, and somebody heard him saying, La, La, not now. The people were making talqeen and saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And he's saying, La. He's saying, No. So some people were astounded that how can this Imam refuse to say the kalima? And then his son asked him, his son Abdullah said, Oh, our father, why did you say no when we were saying talqeen for you at the time when we thought you were passing away? He says, Shaitan came to me at that time to say, Ahmad bin Hanbal, now you are safe from my trickery, from my treachery and my tricks and my deception. And he said, La, I'm not safe until this ruh leaves this body, I'm not safe. So all of us, respected brothers, it should not be as we find sometimes in the world today. A person speaks of other people in such a way as if he's already sitting in Jannah and he's seeing now who's coming into Jannah and who's not coming into Jannah. We all have to love. Al-hayy la tu'manu alayhi al-fitna. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, as long as a person is alive, he is not safe from fitna. We cannot condemn other people, speak bad about other people when we do not know where we are going to end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and give us the tawfiq to ensure that we make a continuous effort to protect this iman. And with regards to this was the announcement that our respected imam made of the program that will be happening in your community inshallah tomorrow. and also the Ijtima in Benoni in March, the 25th to the 28th, inshallah. We request everybody to participate and ensure that this also becomes part of our effort, that we make an effort on our families and our environments, inshallah, and to be a means of goodness for the entire mankind. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله.